This week on the Koshcast, much like on the altcoin exchanges, it's an absolute transfer frenzy. Will Mkhitaryan be the ying to Aubameyang? Will Dzeko check out at Roma? Is Lucas more or less a Brazilian Walcott? And will Laporte finally close the door on City's centre-back issues? Elsewhere, we've got only as much FA Cup as we can possibly stand, the latest from Serie A where AC Milan win but Gattuso still takes a battering, and Spain where Ronaldo finally scores some league goals and of course does his stupid bloody celebration like an 8-year-old. All this, Roche's done a quiz, and Moumou of the week. Entrez! Hello and welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at underscore the Kosh on Twitter. My name is Alex. Roche is Zen.
Hello.
Were you just meditating?
I was getting in the frame of mind for the pod.
Nice. Mohamed, how are you in your frame of mind?
I'm good. I'm already in the frame of mind. So good. I came all zenned up.
Good for you. Yeah. Bernie, how are you?
I'm out of my mind.
Okay. Balo Zen then.
Why?
Just saying.
Why not?
What's that to do with anything?
Zen.
Zen.
But it was ended.
Well done.
Right.
What other Zen players are there?
Zenbrano?
Wow. Ooh,
Zinedine Zidane.
Oh! Nice. Zanetti.
Yeah. Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. Should we leave it
Zian
there?
Gianfranco Zola?
No.
That's where we end it. Yeah. Right. Glad we're all well and in the zone. Let's start this week with Toronto FC. There's a bit of news.
Yeah.
They've spun the wheel.
They've signed.
What are they going to
do? Well, you would know.
Yeah, they've signed someone we totally forgot about.
Gregory Vanderbilt
was supposed to be the next big thing, and then he just fell off the face of the earth, and then now he's back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you guys excited about this? I mean, it's a big name, I guess.
Bernie, you've lived in Holland. Tell us something about Gregory Vanderbilt.
Really? This is what it takes to tell you about a Dutch football player? Vanderbilt was supposed to be very, very good. Went to, I don't know if it was, he was at PSG last, that we remember. And did absolutely nothing because Serge Aurier took his spot, made it his own until he had his own issues.
Yeah.
And then I think he went to play in Greece, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure, we'll go with that.
And now he's in TFC. So probably a good signing for TFC if he keeps his head.
Is he better than Betashore?
I mean,
yeah. Not defensively, I don't think.
Really?
It's how? Actually entirely debatable.
The thing is what? This, like, TFC play with wing backs. Well, a lot of the time at least. And he's more suited for that role. I don't think he's as suited for the defensive play as much as he is bombing forward. And how old is he now? I
mean, he's 30. He's 30. So a couple years younger than Betashore at this point.
So I don't know how much space he still has, but...
Is he coming as a designated player?
No, because... they've already got three, so they can't...
So he's earning not much.
Well, they freed up a lot of cap space by getting rid of a lot of people. So they're probably paying him very well, but not designated player well. But speaking of Betashore, he actually came out... this week and said he would have loved to stay, and Toronto actually wanted him to stay, but because of salary cap restrictions or what have you, they did only offer him a pay cut,
so
which he wasn't willing
to
take.
But so then they're paying Vanderbilt probably a lot more than what they would have paid Betashore anyway.
Maybe.
Yeah, I
would presume so.
So how does this make sense then?
Well, he's got like 3 years on him or whatever, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's got two. And it's a name signing.
Yeah, it's a good
depth signing as well.
Yeah. What else? More transfers from MLS.
Balu Tabla. Can he bear the weight of expectation?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is... banging on the table?
Balu Tabla.
Yes.
Tabla.
A lot of people would not know what that means.
Roche is banging the drum for Balu Tabla.
Yeah.
Fair Tabla enough. Is an Egyptian... is an Arabic-Egyptian style drum.
Roche, are you going to counter that point?
It's not Indian, is it? You're not going to claim everything?
I mean, why not?
Okay.
As a plant in chief, I claim the tabla for all Nigerians.
Wow.
That's all plantar flags.
Right. Yeah. I'll claim it for the English because we conquered all of you.
Absolutely.
Wow. Anyway, Balu Tabla, he is Ivorian. He grew up in Montreal. He's been in the Impact Academy since 2012. And Barcelona just signed him on a 3-year deal. Incredible.
It's random. Very random.
I'd just
like to add that Balu actually means bear in Hindi. So
yeah,
he's a bear drum.
He's a bear drum.
Bear skin drum?
Could be.
Anyway.
Bear red drum.
Anyway, as we were.
Yeah. Saputo, the owner of Montreal, said, you know, this is basically a pinnacle moment for this franchise because, you know, we've actually created a player that European teams want.
I mean, we'll only really know once we see how many minutes he actually gets.
Well, he's going straight into Barcelona B.
I mean, knowing everything about what happens when players go to Barcelona B and never make it into Barcelona anymore, This is a waste of time.
Who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of, was it? Is it Munir? Not Munir, this other guy. Halilovic or something.
Yeah,
a lot of them.
Look, the level of Barcelona and the standard is just too high. Like, you've seen established players make the move there and not make it either tactically, or they just don't kind of buy into the way, the whole Barcelona style, which is a lot of the times is, you know, give it to Messi kind of thing, or, you know, Ibra had that issue, and then you have other players like Kleb and Son and stuff that, you know, they get this grandiose idea in their head that they can make it at Barcelona. Even they couldn't. So it's not easy.
No,
for sure.
But I think, from his point of view, you obviously take the opportunity.
Yeah,
obviously. And even if Barcelona doesn't work out, you will end up somewhere else.
He'll come
Europe.
Back to MLS.
He'll learn about that.
He can end up somewhere else in Europe. Like, just failing at Barcelona means, you know, there's still levels to go.
I mean,
to,
if you look at Jose Altidore, right? Left New York Red Bulls at 19 to Villarreal.
Yeah.
And his career has actually gone pretty decently, if you look at it. So it's not
sure.
a problem.
Absolutely.
What I find interesting is that the Canadian fans don't care.
Well, the thing is that he's played a game or two, I think, for Canadian under-20s.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also said that he's holding out for Ivory Coast.
Yeah, that's why they don't care.
That's why they
we're
don't care.
Done, we're done with this idea of Owen Hargreaves type, even though he played for England, those types of guys, and Asmir Begovic, they're done with that.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, we allowed Junior Hoyler back in, but it took him like 10 years to accept that he wasn't going to play for England or Jamaica.
Yeah.
So
he really waited that one out.
Yeah, seriously. All right. Last bit of North American news. The Miami Beckhams.
Alex, please tell us how you really feel about this.
I hate it. I hate
it. Really does.
From an MLS point of view, long-term planning-wise, putting a football club in a city that is not going to exist in 30 to 50 years is bloody stupid.
You think the club's going to exist in 50 years?
Well,
I don't think
if
the city does it, the club's got no chance.
All right, Alex. In 30 to 50 years, we'll check in and see where Miami is.
Okay.
Yeah,
Rashid, you're a global warming denier.
No, I'm not a denier. I'm just saying they're going to have pumps to pump the water out or something. There's going to be some sort of invention. Miami's not going to disappear or get submerged.
I think it will.
Am I supposed to break this tie?
Yeah.
No. Just tell us about the football part of it.
I'll sit on the fence. How about that?
Right.
But
well, that's the best place to sit. <we're all starting. laughs>
For a football standpoint, this is brilliant. This is what MLS needs. They're going to attract Latino viewers. That's just a straight fact.
Yep.
That's going to happen. And the fact that it's David Beckham's team means there's going to be more international coverage coming to MLS. And if you look at the caliber of player, let's just say they potentially could get, Antoine Griezmann literally said he wants to end his career playing in MLS for Beckham's team. That's the pull.
Well,
that
let's see how good he is at the end of it.
I'm just saying, that's what he said. That's the pull.
Whatever makes my boy Beckham happy, I'm completely down for. Because he's been trying to get this team for years and years, and he's been failing with stadium bids, failing with this and that location,
local politics,
et cetera, et cetera, council issues, blah, blah, blah. So the fact that he finally got his dream, because can you imagine? He's got $25 million sitting there. He doesn't know what to do with it. It's
which,
like, come on, I'm trying to give you $25 million.
Which
and no
is
one
a
wants
huge
it.
Discount compared to now. Teams have to pay $120, $150 million to get their teams in.
Yep.
And his $25 million discount was still there. So
no, for sure. I mean, I'm excited to see how they do. I mean, if they have kind of the Latino mix that, like, let's say a team like Atlanta has, it would be exciting. Because the Latino players in MLS really bring that skill and that flair to the league, where sometimes it can be leveled at them that it's too physical or it's based on too much physical ability, etc., etc. They bring that nice flair, and I really enjoy watching.
The only sad part is one of the members of the class of 92 will have a job.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
for sure. 100%.
He's already said he wants to bring the spirit of 92 to Miami.
So who doesn't have a job yet?
Mate, Phil Neville tried to offer Paul Scholes a coaching role with Wales. Like, enough, man. Like, stop it.
Wait, Gary? Giggs.
You mean Giggs?
Giggs. Yeah.
Oh, they're all the same person now.
I'm sure
as
Phil
long
Neville
as you don't bring back the spirit of Giggs, bring back anything else, you're fine.
Wait, so who doesn't have a job? So
Scholes.
Nicky Butt. Well, he's a pundit, so I mean, technically,
no,
that
but,
has a job.
Sure,
like
Nicky Butt's the only one that doesn't have
a
job.
No, Nicky Job has the best job. He's the academy director at Manchester United.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
So everybody has a job.
Yeah, so everyone.
Beckham
football.
What about Beckham?
Coaching job.
Beckham can do it.
He
doesn't have a job.
He doesn't want to do it.
He is a global ambassador for whatever he decides from week to week.
True.
For the entire sport.
Sure. Yeah.
FA Cup time?
If we must.
So, FA Cup, which was a bit, I don't know, FA Cup's okay recently, not too bad.
There just weren't many upsets.
No, which is the fun part of the FA Cup, really.
Yeah.
Chelsea beat Newcastle quite routinely 3-0. Alonso with a brilliant
free kick.
Free kick.
It was quite good, yeah.
once when he connects with those, they look sweet.
Yeah,
they look sweet. We've had quite a few free kicks, but we'll get to those. But yeah, Alonso had a brilliant one.
That's true. Last week, I think we were praising Batshuayi because like when he plays, he scores.
Yeah,
but there is a Welbeckian element to him where like I'm not sure he means anything that really happens.
Right, right. That's a no-goal streak.
Yeah, like he's in the right place at the right time, but his finishing is a bit weird.
He scored two, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, that's Chelsea's two strikers. None of them mean to fall over and just lose control of the ball at will. That's just what happens to both of them.
Wow.
What are you insinuating?
Morata is not very good right now.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Enough. All right, okay. Disclaimer. Yeah, but actually, Batshuayi had a touch of fortune when his massively deflective shot dropped it.
Yeah. We'll get to him again later in the transfer segment of this podcast. Cardiff lost to Man City 2-0.
How's that orange?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this wasn't the easiest of games for City. They looked comfortable, I guess, but Cardiff played quite well.
Leroy Sané looked very uncomfortable.
Yeah, by the end, he was incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, but I mean, whoever did it got what's it called? He apologized on Twitter for his tackle, whoever that was.
That's very nice.
Yeah, but and then he got two yellows and a red.
That doesn't really like let him off the hook because he's made the tackle. It could have broken his leg. Even if he apologized after that, he's still broken his leg.
To be fair, a lot of City players have gotten on the end of some of these horrendous times of the season. I mean, against Tottenham, there was two of them.
De Bruyne, which is why I don't believe anything they say about how long they're going to be out. Because De Bruyne is supposed to be out for 6 weeks and he played the next game.
That's true. I mean, Sané apparently has ligament damage in his ankle. Usually that's a month out. But as you said, City players have been returning quite quickly, horse placenta?
Juju.
Drugs?
Guardiola's space-age recovery program.
They took him on top of the mountain to that inter-medical facility.
They have NASA facilities, underwater training. That's how Valencia got back from his broken ankle.
Yeah, Valencia probably just tore through that thing.
But that took him like 6 months, not 1 week.
Still NASA, though.
Leicester beat Peterborough 5-1.
They demolished
him. After what's his name that punted again?
Who?
The Arsenal dude. Horrendous
pundit. Stuart Robson?
No, come on, really bad pundit.
Piers Morgan.
Andre Mann.
Paul Merson.
Yes, Paul Merson. Oh. Just before the game said, this is a disgrace, Leicester made 10 changes, they're going to get absolutely pummeled.
Stop disrespecting the FA Cup.
Yeah, oh my goodness. When one of your strikers is Iheanacho, like, against Peter Bragg, what are you talking about? 25, how bad is that?
Iheanacho has the most goals in the FA Cup since whatever, something 2016. Like, he's killing the FA Cup.
Nine
goals.
Yeah, but he hasn't scored a league goal in God knows how long.
Now, aside from the goals in this game, I have to point out that one shot was an absolute blazer of a shot, a tomahawk missile, that ended up hitting a fan in his face while he was using his phone behind the goal. And that was the moment of the game.
I feel like you want to say serves him right. That's what I feel like.
Shouldn't pay attention.
I mean, on the one hand, yes. On the other one, if you're a Peterborough fan and you're 4-1 down or whatever, like, you're on Twitter.
That's true.
Your team is.
Before you get banged in the face.
Fuseni Diabate made his debut. They signed him from Gazalec Ajaccio, which is like a League 2
Ajaccio
team in
France. They were League 1. They were quite a big team.
I'm not sure it's the same as...
Ajaccio and Gazalec? Is this like a local derby or something?
I'm not sure. They might be different. I'm not up with the Ajaccio derby.
Okay.
But
the Gazalec derby. We don't know which it is.
I expect better on this podcast.
They should be Gazprom Gazalec. That would be good.
I was thinking Gazprom as well.
Yeah. Anyway, they signed him from League 2, and like, he looks good. And Claude Puel was like, no one actually knew about him because no one watches League 2, but I did, and he's ready.
Cool.
Another Mahrez type of signing from low level, no one knows who you are.
It's interesting that club is doing what other clubs used to do and actually finding cheap gems. Like, Premier League clubs at this point are just spending tons of money, but Leicester is still like...
Oh, more on tons of money later.
Wigan beat West Ham 2-0. Lols. Wigan have the most wins in English football any tier, except for City and United. They're the third team with the most wins this season in any tier of English football.
And they can
That's
sing.
Impressive.
They can sing. We're going to Wembley.
Are they in league?
No. They were going to sing the other song. Will Griggs on fire because he scored two more goals.
Will Griggs on fire.
I have a confession to make.
What?
I don't really know who Will Griggs is.
No one does.
I've never got into this thing.
Okay.
I don't know what he looks like.
He's a forward for Ireland. Kicked off.
Yes, it's because he scored and the Wigan fans brought up this brilliant chant.
The
Irish fans. And then stuck. And every time now I see Will Griggs score a goal.
Is it that he scored or is it that he was such a shit striker and no one knew who he was and the Irish fans were just having fun with that?
No, I think he scored a goal and then they went crazy. Maybe. And then It's fun. It's fun.
So
I like
was
it.
Thinking maybe we should just ask Connor Kelly when he shows up.
Yeah, we will
in Toronto about Will Grigg.
Instead
of assuming whether he should or not.
Or, you know, do any kind of research whatsoever.
He's clearly on fire.
Yeah. Newport, we're leading...
Sorry, hold on. We're not going to skip over Matsuako, are we?
Oh, he spat and he got a 6-game ban?
Yeah. I was listening to this TalkSport. I know, I shouldn't. Bernie. But it was nothing else to listen to. Right. And they were asking, is it worse to spit or to injure someone like with a horrendous tackle?
I mean, obviously the tackle.
I don't know. Spitting is very intentional and vile. Like, it's intentional. A tackle could be like, oh...
I feel like 90% of the horrendous tackles that we see are not meant that way.
Also, a tackle is part of the sport, technically.
Right.
Like, yes, you're...
But you're literally insulting the person by spitting on
them. I think spitting is worse.
However...
It's a character thing.
Sure, I get all that, but the consequences of a terrible tackle are far, far worse than being spat.
So here's the question, then. As the FA or whoever governing body, do you say spitting is 6 games or a horrendous tackle 6 games? Because one is intent
and
one is unintentional.
Here's the
thing.
When you put your hand up to someone's face, it doesn't always hurt them. But it's the fact that you've lost control over yourself and intentionally wanted to harm that person.
Mm-hmm.
Which some tackles are that and they should be treated similarly. But not every, like not the tackle we saw in the City game. That wasn't like... I want to injure and end this guy's career.
Here's an example. Roy Keane off Inge Haaland?
Yes.
10-game ban, I don't care. Because we all know what he was trying to do, and he even said it after what he was trying to do.
Roy Keane should have literally been in jail for that.
Yes.
It was assault.
Yeah. It was amazing.
But most of what you see, even the Eduardo leg, all those types of things, they are actually not intended to happen. Yeah. So I don't get why people say, oh, a horror tackle's worse than a spit. Like,
it's not. It's
really. Because the consequences of it are.
Spitting is childish. It is vile. It's disgusting. It's your body fluids going on somebody else.
Yeah,
it's very Baze Knave-esque.
Right.
Yes,
to be fair, some people like it.
Okay.
That's a different Saturday. Alex, that's Saturday night. We're talking about Saturday afternoon.
True. Other podcast.
After the watershed.
So back to the Newport Spurs game.
Right.
Newport went 1-0 up, and people were quite looking forward to this upset, which would have been insane.
They got within 10 minutes of it.
Yeah, but then Spurs scored, and they still in the hat, as Kane said.
Why are they like this?
Spurs?
Why
is anybody like this? All teams are like this.
But Spurs are like this more so than Chelsea, United, City.
Yeah.
Like, they really do this a lot.
But Pochettino's not helping them at the moment. I mean, okay, first, actually, I want to talk about the pitch. Because it was basically a marsh. Like, you know in Lord of the Rings where they go through the dead marshes? Like, it was... I cannot believe people play on that. Yeah. I know they've got no money and stuff, and, like, I'm not slagging off Newport for not being able to... Actually, the commentator...
Actually, I am.
Wait, no, the commentator said they had, like, a newly installed drainage system.
Oh, yeah?
I'm like, what's it doing?
What was it like before?
Get the money back. Like, yeah, before they didn't even have a stadium, they just played on a farm.
Don't install that one in Miami.
No,
you definitely need a
burn. Absolutely not.
The thing about this was the Newport goal up until... Like, you knew it was coming. It was, they deserved the goal. Anything Tottenham would have gotten at that point would have been against a run of play. They were so much better than Tottenham. It was unbelievable.
It was literally a tale of two halves, game of two halves. But anyway, I was going to say, like, Pochettino's not helping them because the lineup was bizarre. Like, he had Sissoko, Dier,
that's it.
Dembele.
That's it. Yeah, Sissoko.
You stop at Sissoko, which I say every week. And there was one more central midfielder on. It was just a team full of central midfielders. And no creativity, and Llorente and Kane, which hasn't worked ever, and then you're surprised they're not creating any chances.
We might be slightly harsh on Tottenham. There still is a second fixture, and they're going to play at Wembley.
What
are
you
run over
talking
it.
About?
They're going to go through.
They
have
many. Okay,
this is Newport Town.
Exeter City. We're able to hold United.
To be fair, Arsenal this season.
Other big
Arsenal lost
listen,
to
ties. Just because Exeter held United is no excuse for Tottenham sinking to this level.
Yeah, but
Tottenham should absolutely batter
it's
these people.
It's not like they got eliminated.
Miami joke.
Literally sinking.
Thank you. But no, Richard, you're right. They'll get through. They'll be fine at Wembley, but it shouldn't have taken them 80 minutes to score.
But literally, they were 8 minutes away from this being a horrendous result.
And that's important for them this season because it's the only thing they're going to win or like have a chance to win. And so they absolutely need to keep going.
Wait, Liverpool got a second?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Liverpool lost to West Brom Albion at home. I thought it was 3-1. Turned out to be 3-2.
No, if we want to slag off a team, we should do it right here.
Because you know what?
We don't
slag Liverpool enough on this podcast.
I'm going to be nice today.
Okay.
I'm going to be nice
so,
today.
So, Bernie, tell us the positives from Liverpool's point of view on this loss.
Firmino chip.
Okay.
VAR.
Okay.
Wait, VAR was in favor of West Brom.
No, it wasn't. It cancelled the West Brom goal. It gave Liverpool
it was in favour of Liverpool.
Yeah, well, also Firmino missed the penalty.
He did.
Yes.
Yeah, but we're not talking negatives. Only positives about Liverpool
today. But that's
today.
What I said. Oh, the Firmino chip was positive.
Yep. Van der Voort had one good clearance.
Van der Voort?
what's his name?
Van Dijk.
Van Dijk.
Virgil Van Dijk.
Virgil Van Dijk had one good clearance. One. So that was good. Yeah.
That was good.
He scored two goals.
It's good that Van Dijk is not letting the pressure of his price tag get to him by thinking that he has to perform like a £75 million player.
Guys, this is rubbish. Let's just tell it like it is. What actually happened in this game?
He's not trying to chip crosses in. He's not trying to play through balls. No, he's just being...
Actually, he is trying to do this.
Let's tell it like it is. Okay. Liverpool went one up in this game. Beautiful chip by Firmino.
It was gorgeous.
Off a giveaway. Yeah. But, you know.
But that's a chance that was
taken.
That
was taken with a plum, as Alex likes to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But West Brom came back with Jay Rodriguez scoring a howitzer. Of a goal to equalize, followed by an amazing carpet finish for the second goal to go up 2-1.
A howler is what you get in Harry Potter when your mom wants to yell at you.
Oh, let the owl.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's a letter, but
it's a letter and it yells at you. Right. Yeah. Anyways.
It's like Alexa.
Yeah. Klopp needs one of those.
Ha-ha.
And then what, Rishi? Continue.
And then West Brom were up 2-1, and then the VAR, you know, kicked in. Firmino missed a penalty, and then they ended up going up 3-1 at halftime.
Are we saying VAR or is it VAR?
I like VAR.
Yeah, right?
I'm not a fan of VAR.
Yeah, I don't think because it's an acronym. It needs to be spelt out. Like, you don't say WUBA for West Brom's Albion.
But like, you say, like, RAM for, like, you know.
Yeah.
How far are we going to take this debate?
Okay, so then what happened? I'm actually learning about the game. So,
well, Liverpool came out in the second half. Yep. Undoubtedly yelled at by Klopp in halftime.
And hugged and yelled. Yeah.
And they got one back. Your homeboy Mohamed Salah.
My homeboy, yes.
He can't go a game without scoring.
No, he's killing it.
It was an okay finish. Good pressure, but an okay finish.
He did against Swansea.
Yeah.
Trying him, man.
And then they continued to lose the game after that.
They continued to lose the game. Brilliant.
I'm sorry. Absolutely brilliant. The best part
they
about
were still
this
losing
were the fan reactions on BBC Live and TalkSport. People openly are calling for, like, Klopp to go. And like, it's Klopp out will be a thing. You will see posters and all these sorts of things. It's a thing now.
But it's shocking because it's so soon after the City game.
He said, if I'm here in 3 years when he signed, we will have won the Premier League. That's his words 3 years ago. It's 3 years now, nothing has happened. Also, it's so soon after the City game because they beat top of the league who are unbeaten, and then they went on to lose to Swansea who are bottom of the league, then they went on to lose to West Bromwich Albion who are at second bottom of the league.
They drew at Swansea, to be fair.
No, they lost.
Oh, wow.
Mawson. I was trying
to give him some credit.
No, Firmino's header into the post later on.
I just want to say, Liverpool fans deserve better. This club, the players, except for the defense, are better than this.
Well, they're the best club in England, aren't they, Bernie?
Absolutely not. What a disgrace. I can't remember who that guy from Arsenal Fan TV was that said that. Absolute nonsense. But anyway, I'm being nice to Liverpool because they deserve a lot better.
It sounds like pity, but okay.
Do you think it was West Brom's win that encouraged Daniel Sturridge to move there?
Hey, that's not a bad point.
Yes, this is the straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, you know, Liverpool beat Arsenal and Ox was like, I'll have some of that. So, you never know.
True. Not
anyway,
a bad point.
Yeovil 0, Manchester United 4, routine.
Martial again?
Routine only because... No, he didn't play. He was rested. Him, Pogba, and De Gea were rested.
Alexis Sanchez.
Alexis played, though. He only lost possession 27 times in the first half. which is a record in the FA Cup. Breaking his own record from a season ago.
I'm not going to lie, right? I watched this game, and as an Arsenal fan, I was like, it's annoying that we've lost a good player, a very good player.
Our best player.
To Manchester United. I nearly said a rival, but I thought that was a bit much. To Manchester United, again, all of that is annoying. But
there's something.
He's so annoying.
Yeah.
He is so annoying to watch play football. Within minutes, everything was going through him. Everyone passed to him. And he's just like dicking around with it, spinning in circles, whacking out a player across field. It's so frustrating.
The best part is his first, and this is air quotations, assist.
Yeah.
United fans are like, and Alexis with his first assist. Mate, it bounced across every single player on the field before it ended up on Rashford.
Did anyone actually say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, who said that?
He had one assist and that was to who?
No.
This is why I dislike football.
You have to remember that Mohamed follows like children on
Twitter. He literally follows 12-year-olds. Like, it's unbelievable.
Mate, future football.
It was very funny because Alexis gave it to Rashford. Rashford overruns it completely. And then I'm not sure what the Yeovil defender was doing.
By the way,
he gave it to Rashford. Rashford.
He gave it back.
They stopped playing. Here's a
problem.
Here's
a problem. They've put Alexis's dressing. What's that thing called? His locker next to Rashford's locker because they want Alexis to mentor Rashford, which is amazing.
In
to
what
me.
Language?
Exactly.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
But it's amazing to me because these are two players that run into brick wall. Like they literally Blind run damage. The ball out of. Both of them do the exact same thing. I'm like. Maybe Martial should be the one mentoring Alexis Sanchez.
You give me the ball. I give you the ball.
When the ball comes, you come.
You give me the ball.
How much can you give us?
We need PK. We need PK to just Mascherano. Stand there and Mascherano to talk to stand between Alexis Sanchez and Rashford. You give me the ball. Anyways. So the big teams left are United, possibly Spurs, and City and Chelsea. So still four big teams in the FA Cup.
Wigan.
Yeah, Wigan. Sure. Grace, yes.
They won it a few years ago.
Wigan will play Man City next round.
All right, let's do a quiz before we talk transfers.
Hey. Welcome to the Hen Quiz McQuiztarian.
Very good.
This week.
Very good.
We have three participants. The three participants are Mohamed Kaya, Alex Nathan, and Bernie Uche.
That was easy.
Very good, guys. That was very easy, indeed.
Yeah. All right. This is
so
the easy part.
We all know how this quiz goes. There's three questions. You answer them as best as you can. If you don't know the answer, you guys die instantly.
Oh. That's a new
We're launched into the sun.
I don't think it was like this last week.
No.
Indeed. Question number one. We all know Man City has spent a lot of money bringing in players in transfer windows. But what is Man City's biggest sale value for a player? And for a bonus, who was the player?
Ooh, think about it. That's a good question.
It's a very good question.
I'll give you... Okay,
Mangala?
No.
They haven't sold him.
Oh.
Sale.
Yes.
No, wait,
give you guys a hint. It was in 2017.
What, like this last summer?
Who did they give up?
2017.
What?
All right.
No, wait.
Have we spent enough time on this?
No, this is fun. People are thinking too. Wait.
Another hint.
Where does he play on the field?
Well, he's still playing in the Premier League.
What?
Hang on. Boy. People are shouting into their.
You
their
are gonna get it. You
okay, well, what position on the field? Midfield, defense.
That's
striker.
Gonna really get
no,
it.
Away. Well, we don't know.
Okay. Last and final hint. He is a striker. Yes.
That was easy.
Yes, indeed. What? That's the player, but what was his value?
25 million.
Boom.
Wait, that's the biggest sale City I've ever done?
Yes.
Their economics is terrible.
Brilliant.
Absolutely. This is obviously according to their Wikipedia page, so. Question number two. We all know Real Madrid are in a quote-unquote crisis, which they are week to week anyway, according to Marca magazine. But when was the last time that Real Madrid finished outside of the top three in La Liga?
Okay.
That was easy.
2004.
That is correct.
Whoa.
The 2003-2004 season they finished fourth.
Carlos Queiroz?
It could have been him, yeah.
Who was top three? Like Valencia, Barca,
Atleti?
That's not important.
Yeah, that's not a bonus point, Alex.
Yeah,
but a good question for
Atleti
next week.
Were probably in the second.
Actually, I think we had that in one of our recent quizzes. It was when was the... Yeah, we did.
Very good. So far, Bernie, with all the plaudits, as we go into question number three.
Mm-hmm.
Question number three, in Serie A, we all know that Spal is a quote-unquote new club.
Yeah, KGB affiliate.
When was Spal founded? Yes, Alex.
2007.
Wrong.
1978.
Wrong.
Oh, less or more?
1962.
Less.
54.
Less.
32.
Less.
85.
1886.
You know what, no one's getting those points.
1992.
It was actually 1907.
How are they a new club then?
Contrary to the Spal 2013, which is actually what their club name is these days.
I'm done with that. I'm done with
them. What happened in 2013?
They rebranded.
So let's get on this carousel of transfers. We've got the Giroud, Batshuayi, and Aubameyang
love triangle
thing going on. So all the news is that Arsenal have...
All the news are out.
That at the beginning, like a few weeks ago, or the beginning of the week, or whatever it was, they were talking about trying to get Aubameyang, and the deal was kind of falling through because Dortmund needed a replacement striker.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted Giroud. I think Arsenal were probably okay giving them Giroud, but Giroud didn't want to move out of England. The rumor is that his wife liked London. He wanted to stay in London, etc., etc.
After Giroud's mishap a couple of years ago, he very much has to listen to what she has to say.
Very true.
That is very true.
Wow.
So then he listened to what she had to say. They stayed, and she's like, hell no, you're not going on loan to Germany. So he stayed in London. And now the talks are that for Dortmund to replace Aubameyang with Batshuayi on loan, this is a bit weird, the Chelsea need to get Giroud now.
So or someone.
Or someone. But the rumor is that Arsenal need to make Giroud happen to Chelsea so that Batshuayi can happen to Dortmund, so that Aubameyang can happen to Arsenal.
Can I just talk about Batshuayi for a second?
Please.
Because it's very confusing, and I think he's confused and Conte is confused, because Conte was asked about it. And he said, if the club decides to add another player, I don't know if Michy wants to stay or wants to go out on loan. In this case, it will be the player's decision, not my decision. And then they asked Batshuayi, and he said, I don't know, you should probably ask Conte.
Conte's pretty much just like distancing himself from this whole Chelsea thing. It's like them and me.
Yes.
Like that club, the players, I'm just kind of chilling here.
Mate, he even recently said, it's basically impossible for a manager to last more than a year or two. He said, I looked at like the history of the other managers. It's not surprising. This is just what happens. I'm calm about it.
And he's right. He's not wrong about
probably,
it.
I highly doubt he's here start of next.
No.
Yeah, but 100%. He is his own. He does create his own problems.
Sure,
though.
Sure.
I mean, the whole Diego Costa thing was 100% his fault. There was no one else's fault. You can't blame Emanalo or Ivanovic or anyone like that.
Right? I agree with you. I mean, we don't need to get into Diego Costa, but we don't know exactly what happened with them during the season.
I mean, except he sent a text message to the guy saying you're leaving, which caused them a whole problem.
Sure, but if Diego Costa during that season had been a complete, you know, dickhead.
Oh, he was.
Right.
So I don't blame him for that.
It was probably a mistake text, just like when Lescott posted that Mercedes of his. Yeah,
true.
So let's talk a bit about this whole Aubameyang thing. How much do you guys rate Aubameyang? Like, obviously, I loved him for a few seasons past when he was kind of still red hot and people were like, why is no one getting him and he wanted to go to Madrid and...
Can I just say, again, I think I said this last week, I did once say that he was the best striker in the world, which is completely false. But then again, the statement itself was bred out of the point that he is so, so good.
He's not far from the top. I mean, his numbers are scary. Obviously, it's the Bundesliga, but his numbers are scary. They're comparable to Kane in a different league. But he's also quite useful in, not a plan B, but he is good in the air. He's a big guy. He can score headers. So he's not, you know, he's not limited for someone who people always associate with pace only.
It's just not a smart... Anyway, Richard.
Well, I just wanted to add, I think Aubameyang had a time where he was red hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that time is now, it's kind of, you know, it's past.
Which is why Arsenal can get him.
Well, sure. Yeah. But, you know, 60 million Aub used to be like on everyone's lips for a couple of years. And I still think he's worth the money. But... I think he can do it.
In today's market, 55 million for your striker?
I think people need to understand something here. Aubameyang was available for the exact same money in the summer. That was a straight fact.
For three
summers. Same money, and he was flogged to every single club. And no one went after him. And now Arsenal have decided that this is worth it. I'm a big fan of the guy, but this is panic buy written all over it. They don't have a tactical system where he's going to fit in. Why do this now instead of in the summertime, not bring in Lacazette, bring in Aubameyang, if you knew what the hell you were doing?
So allegedly in the summer, there was interest from Chinese clubs with Aubameyang, and he used that to try and leverage a ridiculous, like, extortionate contract with European clubs, saying, this is what these clubs are offering, let's see you do it, and everyone balked at the figures. So that might go some way to explain why no one bought him in the summer, although I'm not sure it explains the past three summers, right? Because this has been, as Roche said, on the cards for a while. Bernie, I think I agree with you in that tactically I don't really understand. If they had not bought Lacazette in the summer, if they needed a central striker desperately, then this would be blazingly obvious. But I don't quite understand how this is going to work, and I'm scared that Arsene Wenger is going to play one of Lacazette or Aubameyang wide, because he loves to do that, and neither of them is going to enjoy that.
I'm excited about, I mean, just this idea of having him and Mkhitaryan link up again, because Mkhitaryan is someone we're not going to talk about today. We talked about him, I think, last podcast, but again, only maybe a year ago, before he joined United, they put together a year or two ago, they put together some insane numbers as a duo. That's the season where Mkhitaryan really shone and it got the interest from United, etc., etc. So if they can find anywhere near that form as a duo, add Mesut Ozil to that, add, you know, Lacazette, obviously you have to make it work, and it is too front heavy, that's true, but at this point, it's entertainment, and Arsenal are weak regardless in the back. You might as well have some fun up top.
To be fair on Arsenal, it's not as much as a panic buy as when they bought Andre Santos.
No. Yes, I agree with that. And Park Chu-young. What's a Park Chu-young?
Park Chu-young.
Anyway, we've been over this. I just think there's nothing particularly wrong with Alexander Lacazette.
He's too short,
but he's still strong, yep, and he's still pacey. Meanwhile, you're bringing in Aubameyang, who is taller, I guess, and what? Like
he has a much better goalie score.
He needs to have the ball. The best way Aubameyang plays is you play the ball in front of him so he can run onto it. He's not a big man. He's not going to hold up the play. You don't, by doing this, you lose Giroud, which means you lose a plan B.
Yeah,
so you know
how much I don't like Giroud as a starter, but I am quite sad to actually see him go because he is probably the best sub striker in the world, or to bring on as a plan B. He's actually quite a good. I mean, to be fair to him, he's probably just good enough to start. So he's trying to go to Chelsea now to try and get some playing time before the World Cup, and I think with Morata's form, he might be pushing for that. And it seems like Chelsea really want to get a big guy in. Like, all the rumors were Dzeko's and even Andy Carroll's and those crazy rumors. But it seems like they really want that big guy up top. Maybe they're changing the way they play. But I don't know. He's definitely going to get more playing time.
I'm not sure. And I'm saying this on the Monday. And by, you know, tomorrow morning, I could look like an idiot. But I'm not sure. I'm not convinced that this Giroud thing is going to go through. Mainly for the reason that if Giroud stays at Arsenal, he's second, arguably third choice striker if Aubameyang comes in and they're, you know, him and Lacazette are rotating in the central striking position.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes to Chelsea and his aim is to get in the World Cup, like if that's what this move is for,
mm-hmm,
you're not, yeah, he'll get more time, but he's certainly not guaranteed to start. He's certainly not guaranteed to play in most games. He might play, he's not even going to play half of them. He just won't. Morata's going to start. And so if your goal is to make sure that you go to the World Cup, and to be honest, I think it's stupid because I think regardless of what he does, he'll make it into the front squad.
I do.
Then you go somewhere where you are guaranteed to start.
I disagree in that. Okay, I agree in that you do the Dortmund move in order to start, or somewhere else, maybe the Everton move in the summer if it's about making it to a World Cup squad. But if it's you pick Arsenal or Chelsea, you pick Chelsea right now, any day of the week.
Yeah.
A, because Morata is not in great form. Morata is a starting striker, but there's a reasonable chance that Giroud could actually relegate Morata to the bench.
Yes, no, for sure.
There's a very reasonable chance of that. And also, if you look at Chelsea and their ambitions, where they're going to be, long term, you probably get into the Champions League where you go Arsenal. Even with these new players, you're not exactly sure.
Chelsea have no strikers in front of Giroud except the one guy he's trying to dispossess, who is in bad form right now. And I still do believe that they're trying to play a different system. I'm not putting it away from them to play both of them up there. It just feels like they really want that big guy for a reason. It's not just to have him on the bench. And so I think he will play some games.
$15 million? Like, you're giving him away for free.
Oh, yeah,
which is a disgrace on every single level from Arsenal.
Giroud is worth more than that. But again, you have to keep in mind that it's only... We do not want to sell Giroud. It's only being done to bring Aubameyang in.
Which is
so
still
it's just
senseless.
A pawn in the game. That's it.
And let's also talk just for a second about Chelsea's attitude, and whether this is Conte or the club, as he says, towards Batshuayi. Because, Bernie, like, you've noticed his goal record
is as good as Morata.
It's very good. And I said before, you know, as I said earlier, he's a bit clumsy in front of goal, but he scores. When he plays, he scores.
Yeah.
And I'm just not sure why they're refusing.
Isn't that exciting?
That's not what...
He's not going to win you a game on his own.
Oh, Giroud's exciting.
He's not going to win you a game on his own. Giroud could. The last 10, 20 minutes, he could.
Sure, in a plan B kind of way. But my point is, why not at least give him a chance? They never have, after spending $30 million on him.
Yeah, I would give him a chance. I've always liked Giroud. I don't know why.
Batshuayi.
Yeah, he's also... I mean, he's decent, but, you know, he hasn't really, like, lit up Chelsea.
He's still young, too.
But he's never been given the chance to. The thing is, if you're Chelsea right now, I look at Giroud and I go, well, that's an upgrade on Batshuayi, and I agree. But the fact of the matter is, Batshuayi has done great stuff when he's been asked to play.
Well, the fact that Dortmund aren't against taking him alone to replace Aubameyang tells you a little bit that they possibly think that they can get the best out of him. Anyways, end of the day, I think it would be... I don't know. I don't want to lose Giroud, but I think if you tell me you're losing him for $15 million, that's such a bad buy, that's fine. But what's your other alternative? You keep him and you don't get Aubameyang?
Yes.
I'm sorry, no.
Yes.
No chance.
No, I'm not saying you don't go
that's
for
your
Aubameyang.
Other option, though.
I'm saying you buy Aubameyang and then figure something out.
But if it doesn't happen, if the only option is sell Giroud for 15 or not get Aubameyang, I'm sorry, it's a very easy pick. At this point, Giroud has to be a pawn in the game.
All right, let us know what you think. While we're on Chelsea, they are going to sign. They were trying to get Dzeko and Emerson Palmieri at the same time. Dzeko looks like he's rejected them.
No. They rejected his wage demands.
I'm not convinced.
I heard that he was down to go. Romo was down to sell.
It's two things. It's wages and length of contract, because he has a good thing going on in Rome. So what he wants are assurances. That if I'm going to join you and I'm going to displace my kids from a place that they enjoy, it needs to be a 4-year contract and a good amount of money.
I'm sorry to cut you there and go back, but you brought that length of contract thing up. Aubameyang allegedly is a 3-year contract, mm-hmm. which means that in a year's time, Arsenal go through this whole contract
renewal. And then he goes to Real Madrid, which is what he told his grandfather he would do.
We're going through the whole Sanchez thing in a year with Aubameyang. Anyways, let's move on. Alex, tell us about the left back they're getting.
Emerson Palmieri, I believe he signed from Santos. He spent a year on loan at, I forget, was it Torino? A different Italian club before Roma. He had a really bad ACL injury, because everyone that goes to Roma gets an ACL injury.
Mm-hmm. Standard.
Yeah.
Contractual.
But he's a good left back. He's a very good left back. And we assume he's being bought to play backup to Marcus Alonso.
Well, which is a shame, because all good left backs end up being backups to Alonso.
who is the current backup to Alonso?
The other one. Well, the previous one was Felipe Melo, who was
Felipe Luis.
Luis.
They weren't at the club at the same time.
Wait, so there is no backup to Marcus Alonso?
There's Baba Rahman, but they keep loaning him out. He's at Schalke, I think. Keep loaning him out.
Okay, so that's a good transfer then.
It makes sense.
No one wants to get in the way of
Marcus Alonso. No, you definitely don't.
Oh, I see what you did.
Lucas Moura. Good. Exciting.
Decent deal.
The Brazilian World Cup people are calling him. I think it's harsh.
On who?
Well done.
The goal records are probably pretty similar.
Probably. Lucas Moura is one of those highlight guys where once in a while you see a clip and you go, oh, he's a good player, isn't he? And then he goes, does nothing for 4 weeks.
He did very well last season, Lucas Moura.
I think he was thinking of that goal where he took a pass everyone and scored a goal.
I think that's what
I mean, he scored 19, which is similar to what Walcott did last season.
Exactly what Walcott did last season.
Yeah, Walcott scores 20 goals and we're still like, he's shit. So 25 know. Million in this market, not bad.
The price is not bad. This is really just, can Pochettino do his magical thing and get much more out of the player than anyone else has been able to? Because the talent is there, obviously, but he's streaky, his control, his first touch isn't brilliant. He's got pace, and that's what Spurs lack, and so that's why they're doing it.
Is he going to be better for them than Lamella?
Yes, because Lamella doesn't play.
But Lamella was supposed, but Lamella's back now. He was supposed to be that flair guy. Like, why, if he couldn't do it, why would Moura do it?
Well, we also talked about Tottenham squad depth, so this could also be a depth signing.
True, they don't have depth in their...
I don't see anything wrong with this whatsoever.
It's a punt.
Yeah, and PSG are ready to sell him for probably less than his market value.
He also wants playing time before the World Cup,
which he's not going to go to anyway.
But I mean, the thing is, if it at all reduces Sissoko's minutes on the pitch, then it's worth every
probably
penny.
Doesn't
worth every penny. Oh, man, it has to. It absolutely has
said
to.
If you don't see the value of Sissoko, you're stupid, or something along those lines.
Well, to be fair, Pochettino has been pretty stupid
the last few weeks. Yeah, been
great. Laporte.
Yeah.
Typical Guardiola signing.
And a week.
I mean, the thing with City, which I'm not gonna say I like or dislike, is that it's so good to just go after release clauses. Easy transfer. You go, this guy has a 60 million release clause. Here's a bag with 60 million. This player is ours. No back and forth. No this and that.
I agree.
Just boom, bam. Thank you very much. Literally took a day.
Boom, yeah.
Took a day because you just paid the release clause.
Well, I saw someone tweet. Sorry, buddy. I saw someone tweet. I think it was earlier today. This is really funny. That Bilbao, buying someone from Bilbao is quite funny because they're just like, you have to pay the release clause. There's no negotiation.
Yep.
We can't do anything with the money anyway, so we're going to get as much as we want.
Except when Manchester United sent two guys in a briefcase, tried to sell.
True.
Yeah,
and then repeated the trick the next year.
But, I mean, he's supposed to be this ball-playing centre-back. People were excited about him a few seasons ago. It died down a little. Now Pep is, he reignited the interest and obviously finally got his man. The question is, are City playing three at the back or two at the back? Right now they're playing two. So that has, right now they have Stones and Otamendi as the starting. Company's not going to be here next summer.
Mangala won't be here.
So it's really two positions between Otamendi, Stones, and Laporte.
That's fair.
Let's
squad depth.
Except, to be fair, they spend a lot of money.
But, I mean, they've played their best football with four at the back as opposed to three. They can play three, but why would you... If they're winning the league at a canter. as we all know. So, like, why change it for a three? I don't see him doing that.
I don't think we can necessarily say that he will. Yeah. We might see it a bit more than we did before. Yeah. I'm not sure he's going to change the system. What I would say is, if money is no object, which it isn't, then why would you not bring in a very good alternative to Stones and Otamendi?
Hold on. If money is no object, which Pep Guardiola just said it really is.
Yeah, but forget that.
Like,
yeah.
Which is just absolute rubbish. Because lost 60 million for a player that you would have gotten for 35 2 years ago, that doesn't make sense to me. And it also tells me that he doesn't have confidence in the defense that he has right now.
To be fair.
Which we know is not very good if you attack them in the first place.
To be fair, it was actually Laporte that rejected City 18 months ago because he said he wasn't ready.
Drama!
And then, so he wasn't ready then. And then he signed a new contract and they increased his release clause from whatever it was to 65 million. What? Like, and City are just playing this game with...
Damn, man, give the guy some space. He wasn't ready, okay?
Okay.
Don't get all up in his grill.
And everyone wins. More money.
This time. He's ready now. He saw the value in the move.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. He's also a Bilbao boy. He's very loyal.
Bilbao boy.
You should have seen his goodbye statement. It was very cute.
But he's going to play for France, though.
Yeah.
And he can't get into the French team. I don't understand why.
He will now.
Well, he will now.
Well, this will put him on the map for sure.
But Varane has been horrendous.
He's supposed to have been better than those guys, but he doesn't have a cap.
Well, now we'll get to see him.
Yeah.
And we'll see what the
I hope he's better than what they have right now.
But you know what? Overall, I think it's a good signing because, as you said, now they're going to have an alternative backup to Stones and Otamendi.
True. You can't just have two good center backs. Because who's your backup? Mangala and company? You just can't.
Apparently Pep fixed Mangala. That was a freaking lie. Jesus.
I mean, to get any kind of reasonable performance out of him is quite impressive.
He didn't fix shit.
It was a mangle. All right. Sturridge on loan to West Bromwich Albion. Official now. It was still rumors up till like a few hours ago. I've been saying for a while, why is no one going for Sturridge? He sits on the bench. I know he's in. At least for on loan. No one's saying spend 25 million or 30 million on a croc. Just take him on loan. Some mid-table team. I mean, I wasn't thinking second from the bottom. But some mid-table team.
Hey.
Take Sturridge.
This is a good
alone.
Team. This is West Bromwich Albion.
True.
They just beat Liverpool in the FA Cup.
Yeah, correct.
Where would you rather go, Newcastle or West Brom?
West Brom for sure.
Yeah, but he hates Benitez.
No.
I would have gone to Liverpool. Newcastle if I was Sturridge.
Newcastle
under
was
Benitez,
right.
A better manager, a team that wants
under
to play.
Under West Brom plays good stuff.
They're better than Newcastle on our day.
Newcastle can play for like 60 minutes in a game max.
Newcastle's day comes once in an eon. Like, West Brom have one every 3-4 weeks.
Here's what I'm excited about, right?
West Brom are second bottom.
Johnny Evans. Listen to this. Front three. Rondon. Rodriguez. Sturridge.
That's not that's
beautiful.
Not bad.
Beautiful. Hold up, man.
What a muscular front line.
It is muscular.
That's,
well, apart from Sturridge. But yeah.
But Sturridge could have gone abroad.
He's the meat in that sandwich.
He really could have gone.
He could have gone abroad, and there was the Inter link, but
wasn't there a Roma link too?
No, just Inter. As far as I know. but the thing is, if he went to either of those teams, he would play maybe half the games. Here, he's going to start every week, and that's what he needs.
Great. No, I'm excited to see him
back in the England lineup.
Yeah, back in England. João Mario to West Ham.
João.
He's not that fast.
David Moyes.
How is this happening?
David Moyes has
he
pole.
He was supposed to be one. Yeah, he has pole.
He wasn't playing.
You know who else had pole?
No.
Zaha on David Moyes' daughter.
Wow.
Anyways.
Okay, Ric Flair.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Back to João Mario.
Yeah, back to him, mate.
He's a bloody good player. He's been in terrible form for Inter, but he's a bloody good player. It will be fascinating. Lanzini's out for 6 weeks. They needed some attacking creativity. It will be fascinating.
Are you
to see
sure
if
he's
Moyes...
a good player?
Yes.
Okay, if you say so.
Who's
he
Mario?
Has
yeah.
been quite good for Inter, not
Mario?
Recently, but
yeah. Oh, yeah.
At some point.
Yeah, previously,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, previously, at
and,
some point.
And he's been very good for Portugal.
Once upon a time.
I think, okay.
Diafra Saka, okay, I think we're pretty much running, like, I mean, all of these are what I've made.
No, hang on. Diafra Saka has gone from West Ham to Rennes for 8.8 million. My question here is, where did Rennes get 8.8 million from?
All I know is he's really happy because he wanted to move so badly. So badly. He almost went on strike to get a move to Rennes.
I just want to quickly add stupid moves that players have made in order to get like playing time in the World Cup the following season.
Mm-hmm.
Albert Riera for the Spain lineup went to Zenit St. Petersburg.
That is a horrendous decision.
I mean, isn't the league...
he never made the Spain lineup.
Does it? Well, that's mainly because the league runs through the World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of that, let's do Momo of the Week.
Happy Momo. One thing we are no sha, Momo no fit sleep forever. One day, Momo go wake up.
Momo of the Week time now, and we start with the great Mathieu Flamini. On his Twitter bio, it says, professional footballer, debatable, and environmentalist, which is actually less debatable.
What he needed to do is put a date, start and finish yes. on that professional
Where
footballer.
Where is he playing?
One.
I'm actually not sure.
I don't know.
Where's he retired?
Crystal Palace reserves?
Last seen at Palace, but I'm not sure. Anyway, if Lassana Diarra can get a contract, maybe Flamini can. Anyway, he posted a picture of himself running on the beach and...
Training.
Yep. And his caption was... Catch me if you can, hashtag workout, hashtag feeling good. And Mohamed summed this up perfectly by quoting that tweet and saying, they can. Because Flamini has to be one of the slowest people I've ever seen run.
Also, not in his mind, to be fair to him.
Also, he's wearing sneakers on the beach.
Bright.
Which would only make you slower if you've ever run on the beach.
Yeah. I've got here, my mumu is Sky Sports. And... You know, once Phil Neville became...
The entire organization.
Yes, all of them. whoever edited this report, they, after Phil Neville got given the women's job, they quoted a tweet from back in the day with his allegations, his misogynistic allegations, and the tweet said, relax, I'm back, chilled, just battered the wife, feel better now.
Yeah.
Obviously, they took this out of context. He was talking about, like, tennis. They just finished the game. Allegedly. Yes, he wasn't documenting his domestic abuse encounter.
That would be mightily honest of him.
Yes, I just thought that from your journalistic responsibility, that's not what you should be doing.
It's Sky Sports, man. They have none.
I'm just saying. Before we end, I have an anti-Momo, if I may.
I'm not interested.
Manchester City. Wow. They have launched this great campaign called Same Game, Same Club,
yes.
Same Hashtag Man City. Mm-hmm. And it's brilliant. They're trying to get the fans, I don't know which ones, but get them on board.
Slide dig in your
answer. Yeah. Get them on board to also support their women's team and show up to the women's team and kind of think of them as also part of the club, which they are. Because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of these clubs, they have basketball teams, volleyball teams, women's teams, and mm-hmm. people only focus on the football, on the men's soccer side mm-hmm. of things. So
like
I
Manchester
think,
United,
yes.
without a women's team.
Yes, and I think it's, you know, same city, same passion. It's a great little campaign. I really enjoyed it.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Abi Momo. One thing we are no sha, Momo no fit sleep forever. One day, Momo go wake up.
Che cosa?
Beh, che bello.
Thank you.
prego.
Padre Pupi?
Molte bene.
Spell one.
Cappuccino.
Into
spaghetti.
One.
Great celebrations by Spell. You can see the apartment building behind the stands.
You love that.
And,
you love that.
It's a very intimate setting. You know, it's the town of Spell.
Yeah. It was the same in the Newport game. They had people watching from their bedroom windows. It's
yeah,
quite
nice.
Yeah.
Nice pot of coffee in the game.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And they got a good score against Inter.
Inter, predictably, their title race is collapsing around them. They've dropped a bunch of points in the last few weeks, and I think it took them most of this game to even equalize here, so you know, that's fun. Icardi, I think, has stopped scoring for a few games. Everything's just falling apart. It's great.
Yep. No, fantastic.
Napoli 3 Bologna 1. This we can celebrate. Roger,
wonderful goal by our homeboy Mertens.
Mertens.
Oh, was it Insigne?
No, it was Mertens.
They're all the same height.
Yeah,
it's really hard to identify.
That's true. In the highlights, it's quite hard to tell who it is until you hear
and
Mertens.
They also
Mertens.
Did a little dovetail before he actually shot the ball.
He cut in, put it in the top corner brilliantly. The other one was from like a free kick, I think.
Well, Bologna scored after like a minute in this game.
Not even 24 seconds in, Bologna score, and then reassuringly, they then give away a penalty and concede an own goal.
Can I take us like 2 seconds off track?
No.
I just said free kick, and we never mentioned De Bruyne's free kick under the wall.
Very nice.
Just fair enough. Shout out to our homeboy.
Very nice.
Who cares about under the wall? This is under the cosh.
Oh!
Anyway, Napoli needed to win this because Juventus, the previous day, had beaten Chievo 2-0. Nine-man Chievo, so that was easy. Khedira and Higuain. And they'd gone top of the league. So Napoli needed to win this to get back on top. They're a point ahead. We are praying that they can hold on to this league.
Absolutely. It would only give me so much joy if Juventus lost this league.
Right.
Roma 0, Sampdoria 1. Roma are also falling apart. Absolutely falling apart.
But Roma had something like 1,700 shots on target.
Yep.
And couldn't score.
Former Arsenal third choice goalkeeper Emiliano Viviano.
Yes.
One of the best names in the world.
Ever.
It was unbelievably good.
If I hear another commentator say, Shawari, I'm going to punch my screen. I'm going to get a ticket to Italy and punch the guy.
Pronounce it correctly for us.
Sha-ra-wi. The R comes before the W. And if you don't have to say it, Harsorko. Sha-ra-wi. Oui. Three syllables.
Can you say it as hardcore as you could possibly say it?
Sha'rawi.
Thank you.
But people say the W before the R. Sha'wari. Why?
Well, Ferrari. People still say Santi Carzola, and I don't understand that either. Anyway, yeah, Roma had so many chances. Really should have won. Viviana was incredible. Roma are without a win in 7 games. They need to sort this out.
Well, the Sampdoria are giant killers of Serie A this season. So
they're sitting in 6th. They're only like 4 points away from Roma.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, but anyway, they're only 3 points ahead of AC Milan.
But, to be fair, AC Milan killed it this weekend.
Speaking of, a handball goal. No, it's actually AC Milan's 3rd win in a row, which is shocking because they only have 34 points after 22 games. And a 0 goal differential. But
that started so positive and then it just crashed.
Yeah, coming back to the positivity.
Yeah.
Gattuso with a big win against Lazio. Lazio, obviously.
First half, world-class performance from AC Milan.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Hakan Çalhanoğlu finally showed up.
That cross from the free kick was venom. Literally venom.
Isn't that all they bought him for?
Yeah.
Literally just bought him for a free kick.
Actually, the cross from Calabria for the other header, the second header, was also venom.
Reminds me of when Liverpool bought Charlie Adams for his corner kicks.
10 million for his corner kick alone.
Sold to them by Alex Ferguson.
Genius.
35 anyway, million.
Back to Milan. First half was phenomenal play. They absolutely dominated, killed it, looked so phenomenally good. And then the second half came about, and it's like they sent on the under-12s.
Yeah.
Just could not play football anymore.
Lazio dominated.
I don't know what
half.
Gattuso does in the halftime. You know, he probably like took off his pants. Something like Van Gaal.
Probably battered his players.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's get to Gattuso because we have to anyway. But after the game, he went into like a huddle with his players and they all smacked him around the head. It was just scenes, absolute scenes. And he was obviously, you know, asked about this and he said, I do it to make the players happy. There are one or two who won't get into the team and so they start to look at me funny. In that moment there, they have the chance to give me a clip round the ear. I go and stand in the middle of the huddle and that way I make sure no one tries to hit me in the changing room.
To be fair,
that's quite
nice. If he's standing there, the minute he starts to feel those heavy ones, you know the subs came in the way.
Yeah.
Now he's just like, who was that?
I've never seen anything like it.
Could have been Joe Jordan.
Yeah,
he would have loved to hit.
Yeah,
he would have loved
Cutrone is playing really well for AC Milan, scoring goals left, right, and center.
Even with his hand,
he's the top scorer. You know, they spent a lot of money on what's his name, Kalinic. Yeah,
yes.
Kalinic,
yeah.
And Andre Silva, and Cutrone is outscoring everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well done, Spain. That's the name of the country.
Oh, yep. We forgot about Kiev 0-0 Juventus 2.
No, we didn't.
No. Mention it. But Alex said it in a segue-ish moment, and then we prayed that Napoli would win the league. Remember? We all came in a circle and prayed.
Yes, of course, yes.
Valencia lost 4-1 to Madrid at home. People thought Valencia would give Madrid a much harder time, especially that Madrid are in a bad run of form and Valencia looked good.
Do you know who was playing centre-back?
For who?
For Valencia.
Was it, what's his name, the Brazilian dude?
It was Francis Coquelin.
That explains it.
Why?
It's a very good question.
Injuries.
No, but 2 penalties were given to Real Madrid in the first half, so clearly they paid the referee off.
No,
and,
funny enough, they were the most deserved penalties I've seen in the last month.
That's true.
It was unbelievable.
Ronaldo scoring both, correct?
He scored both.
And then he did his stupid celebration.
Where he won the World Cup?
Yeah.
Yep. Santi Mina.
He scored a goal. So did Marcelo. It was nice to see Marcelo do something good.
Yes,
he's been battered defensively this season.
To be fair, Valencia actually, like the scoreline makes them look like it was worse than it actually was.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because they actually battered Real Madrid in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that Real had like one or two good moments of flair and scored some beautiful goals.
And the Toni Kroos finisher at the end.
Mm,
yeah,
mm.
Beautiful goal.
I like that Kroos has developed his own goal.
Yeah,
like that's the
it's
goal.
It's a Toni Kroos
scored.
Goal.
Hey, and I scored one of those goals yesterday.
Oh, God.
Unfortunately, you actually did.
Alex,
yeah.
You actually
yeah.
assisted me for
I
that
did,
goal.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah,
great. Fantastic stuff. We'll get to Roche's game later. Atleti beat...
That should be on every podcast.
Yeah.
None of the Koch team up.
Yes. They're a shake cam.
Yeah.
We won 6-0.
Yes. Atleti beat Las Palmas 3-0. Oh, that back heel from Griezmann that hit the post. Ball came in. He's running at it. Right foot back heel. Shattered the post, came out.
I need to understand something.
Yeah.
There have been 3 back heel goals or something this season in the Premier League alone. We didn't talk about any of them with any delight, and we're talking about Griezmann hitting the post.
This one was like a hard shot. Like it wasn't a trickle back heel. This was like a boom.
Let's
boom.
Talk about a goal.
Leon Bailey scored one of those for Leverkusen last week.
He's
yeah.
killing it.
Yeah.
Killing it. So yeah, Atleti get an important 3 points. Torres scoring a very good goal, taking on his
defender.
There
was a good finish. Yeah.
There was. Yeah.
I was shocked to see him on the score sheet.
Yeah.
Not Diego Costa, but did he play?
Is he suspended?
Probably.
Chances are he's suspended.
Emery chances.
Emery chances. Well done.
A quick one. I want to talk about the table and La Liga. Barcelona obviously going to win this game. However,
what do you mean?
This league?
What game?
I mean,
what
this league. No.
They did win the game.
Madrid are in fourth, but they have a game in hand, which they're going to win, and they're going to be ahead of Valencia.
Yeah.
And they're clearly going to catch up with Atletico Madrid and finish
second.
They're
going to be if they win the game in hand. Yeah, sure.
Clearly.
Sure.
They're
going
to
finish
miles
second.
Away.
Sure. That's 5 points away after that
but
game in hand.
They cannot catch Barcelona, who would be like 10 points or whatever away.
Never.
Way more than 10 points. They're 15 points at this point. But this game, to be fair, had a lot of... This Barcelona-Alaves game had a lot of talking points. First of all, it was at home. Alaves scored the first goal.
Mm-hmm.
Guidetti, Manchester City legend.
Wanted both feet to have a touch.
Exactly. Slipped and scored it.
Skillful goal.
And then Coutinho played for 66 minutes. Did absolutely nothing. Horrendous game for him.
Apparently he was getting in Messi's way.
Everybody that goes there new gets in Messi's way. I don't know why anyone doesn't learn
from
how
Paulinho.
Yes, because he knows. Anyways.
Hashtag Paulinho knows.
Coutinho gets subbed off in the 66th minute, and then Barcelona scored two goals. Suarez getting player of the month for December after a horrendous start of the season. He's killing. He has like 8 goals in a row right now for Barcelona.
He's good.
Yeah.
Good player. He also kicked the guy in the stomach.
He's a good
Did you see that
player.
Little back heel he did?
No.
He's going to get suspended for that.
Yeah?
They don't have retroactive bans, though. They don't have VAR.
No, not VAR. But
if the ref doesn't
ban.
See okay. it, that's when you get a ban. Yeah. Messi, obviously, to the rescue because, you know, that's what the best player in the world does. Free kick. The first
that
free kick was
been.
Saved. So well.
Yeah, the free kick apparently wasn't supposed to be.
No, so let's start with Suarez's goal. Suarez kicked it in off PK's hand, who was like shielding his face. So that went in. And then the free kick was like offside
something
before
like that,
the free kick. But then you know what? You can only
sorry,
do
you,
what you give given.
You said something interesting before, which was...
I always do, mate.
Wow. Mm. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about that.
No.
Especially now because I can't remember what
tell
I was
me,
going to
me.
Say.
I'll talk about Deportivo 2, Levante 2, which obviously ordinarily wouldn't mention.
However, the Deportivo striker, Florin Andone, I think he's Romanian? I don't know. Anyway, Deportivo were 2-0 up, and they ended the game 2-2. And this is what their striker had to say. We had it in our hand, and we cocked it up again.
Mm. Is this in Spanish?
Yeah.
That's
well,
pretty much
I don't
what,
know.
That's how you do it.
We have to have personality to close out the fucking games because we can't let 3 points escape us like we've done today. This isn't the way. In the end, we shat ourselves.
Wow.
We lacked decisiveness, balls, and it got away from us. We had the 3 points, but then it's one in the relegation zone and practically praying that we don't end up losing.
He just wanted to get all the swear words in.
Oh.
All of them in.
What a legend.
Just get him in.
He's looking for a transfer.
Oh,
yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, he has 2 days.
This is why he got them all in now. He has no time to wait.
Absolute come and help me, please.
We've got midweek games in the Premier League starting tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow on Wednesday, then again.
Which means do your predictions, people.
Did them.
Predictions. I'll send an email reminding everyone. I've have a lot of fun doing them this week. It's quite exciting. And then we have midweek games as well. Weekend games, regular
games. Is Champions League back soon?
There's like Tottenham United in the weekend. There's Liverpool. There's Arsenal, Everton. There's a few good games.
Oh. Yeah. You know,
Spurs United.
Sorry, where is Arsenal Everton?
I think in the Emirates. So
the return of
he'll do a stupid little clap. Yeah,
that's like if people are using our podcast to get their fixture news, they should probably find somewhere else.
I mean, especially an hour in.
Yeah,
seriously. I'm gonna listen to this for an hour.
What I will announce though is that we have confirmed the date for our next trivia night, which is March 14th. I believe it's a Wednesday. It's gonna be at Opera Bob's in Toronto, Dundas, and Ossington. We're still working out. I think we're gonna use like an advanced payment system or what have you. We're still working that out. So follow us on Twitter @_thekosh to get news on that.
And in 2 days, the comic will be launched. We're excited to bring that to you. You've seen the teaser content.
The
and
Academy.
We have, exactly, called The Academy. Thanks to Akil. Follow him at What Did Akil Say on Twitter and Instagram.
What did Akil say? Dun, 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 dun.
What is that?
The fox.
What did the fox say?
Wow.
Also,
okay.
Akil is spelled A-K-I-L.
Yes.
Okay,
so that's
and
The Academy.
And what did I say is W-H-I-L. Sorry, Brady, go ahead.
I can't believe I just heard this. That's The Academy. Follow us on Twitter. @_thekosh for more details. Instagram, The Academy TO. Again, we're going to release some actual panels, some teaser panels, so you get to see what the art actually looks like.
Oh, you bad boy.
And for the record, Richey looks like a marvel in this thing.
Yeah, much better than I do in real life.
That wasn't hard to draw, to be fair.
I think that's true for all of us in this case.
All right, see you all guys next week.
Ciao.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.